Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode. How's your week been? Did you survive the holidays okay? I know financially I did pretty good myself. I did end up purchasing a couple things, but it was things that I was already planning on spending money on. So it was kind of nice to save a couple extra bucks here and there. But other than that, the holiday was pretty chill. Just went to my mom's house, hung out, lots of food, you know, the usual kind of stuff. But it was really fun to hear from you guys in the Facebook group to hear some of the cool things that you were up to and what deals you personally found. And of course, this is my great transition into my favorite segment of the show, the hashtag Money Wins. Today's Money Win comes from Yoki. She says, I paid off 4 credit cards, my insurance until March, and created a plan to have myself debt-free by February. Feeling so good right now. Hashtag Money Win. That is incredible. I am so proud of you for making the plan and paying off all the credit cards. That's a really great accomplishment, and you should feel so proud of yourself. Guys, if you want to join in and hang out with people like Yoki, then go to the private Facebook group, Manage Your Money Like a Boss, and you can connect with your fellow money nerds. That link is in the show notes. So if you want to click on that or search on Facebook, either way, we'll get you to the same place. All right, let's talk about our guest today. Our guest is Allison Baggerly. She is the founder of InspiredBudget.com. Allison has combined her passion of teaching and finances to help others learn how to start budgeting. Allison's passion for budgeting surfaced after she and her husband found themselves newly pregnant in under $100,000 worth of debt. So lots of debt, and with the new family situation, I can imagine that they were incredibly scared. They didn't have enough money left over each month for daycare expenses, so they knew that something had to change. It was during those years of sacrifice and paying off debt that Allison realized just how much she loved finances and taking back control of her money through budgeting. Now Allison is helping women all over the world get started with budgeting when they feel lost and overwhelmed. In this episode, we talk about how she grew her popular Instagram account, paying off $111,000 in debt in 4.5 years, how she broke through that spender's mindset and found a really good balance between saving and spending, and we even talk about lessons she learned from buying a coach purse. Guys, I am so excited to introduce you to Allison Baggerly from InspiredBudget.com. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today I am joined by one of my new FinCon friends, Allison Baggerly from InspiredBudget.com. Allison, stoked to have you here.
Yeah, I'm so excited, Whitney.
So I was cracking up. I like to tell people how we met, and we met in the most random slash awkward way maybe imaginable. So I was looking for a gal that I was having a meeting with, and I thought maybe you were her. So yep. I was like, nope. Tracking you down.
Wasn't me.
But it was really fun. So we got to connect, and I got to learn a little bit more about your story and what you're up to. And it sounds like Instagram is kind of where you're hanging out mostly. Can you tell everybody a little bit about your Instagram?
Yeah. So I have an Instagram. I launched it back in, oh gosh, I think June of 2017. And I'm on there daily. I'm in my stories daily. And my whole hope is to just be able to inspire people daily to budget better, save more, and then not get bogged down with all the unexpectancies of life, and really to just find gratitude in the day to day. And so I love for any new followers to come. I really try to make it a positive space where you can, you know, just find a silver lining in your day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I love your Instagram too, because it's actually very on brand. So that was one of the things that I appreciate, is everything is just very, it's a beautiful aesthetic. So congrats
Thank
to you on that.
It was not always like that. It took time, and I'm very intentional with it.
I love it. Okay. So give us a couple little quick tips for people that are hoping to grow their Instagram. What have you found that has worked to get you from 1,000 to over 50,000 followers now?
Yeah. So I would definitely say post consistently. I post daily, and then I'm in my stories every single day. So definitely post daily. Number two is really just target your audience. Like, who is it that you want to be speaking to, and what is it that they struggle with, or how can you help them, and focus on that specific thing? Because there's, I think it's like 4 billion Instagram users. Wow. And there's people out there that want to hear from you. They just don't know it yet. And then I would say, let's see, post consistently, target your audience. And then be positive. There's so much negativity in this world, and anyone can turn on any screen and have it bring them down. But imagine being able to go into someone's phone and into someone's life and be a light in their life. And so I would say focus on positivity.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that everything you talk about is helping people become better with their finances, which I suspect is almost you talking to previous you. Is that the case?
Yeah, kind of.
So take us back to that. You were able to pay off $111,000 in debt.
Yes.
What the heck was going on there?
So, well, my husband and I got engaged and we got married and we got pregnant on our honeymoon. And, you know, weeks later when we sat down and we realized that daycare would cost us anywhere between $700 to $800 a month, we were like, we don't have $700 to $800 a month. It just is not. It was not in our budget. We didn't have a budget. We didn't even know what we had. And so, you know, as two teachers, we knew that we had to grow up, become adults, and make changes in our life. And it really wasn't, except for our son coming into our life, that forced us to do that. And I'm so lucky and thankful that, you know, he was kind of our accelerator that made all this happen. And so, you know, we got on a budget. We decided to use a debt snowball to pay off our debt, mm-hmm. and we lived very frugally, and we sacrificed. We made lots of sacrifices so that we could pay off our debt in 4.5 years on two teacher salaries.
Dang. Well, that's amazing. So tell us, what were some of those sacrifices that you guys did make?
Well, as two teachers, you know, we have all summer off, and we would just see, I would constantly see on Facebook, all these other teachers and all these families going on vacations. And our vacations were just trips to see our family or see our grandparents. And so we didn't have those glorious, beautiful beach vacations. We didn't have new furniture in our house. We didn't have all these beautiful baby pieces that, you know, whenever you have a baby, you buy all these things. I went to garage sales. And I would buy anything that I could wash or clean myself from a garage sale. So we really just changed our habits. We didn't go out to eat as much anymore. And we truly just changed our entire family lifestyle to fit to make it to where we could be able to pay off our debt. And then now we take that money and we save it.
Ooh, that's got to be a good feeling too. So a lot of people, I don't know if you went through this, but I kind of did when I paid off debt as well. I went through and I was so focused on paying off debt and I was so excited. And then all of a sudden it's gone. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll just keep doing this and then transfer it to savings. But that goal it was harder to do that. Did you find the same thing?
Yeah, it was definitely hard. We became debt-free in August, and then we started getting hit with some medical bills that we weren't sure was going to come. And so we just felt like we just kept getting hit while we were down and we had no money. And then we just went on a spending frenzy for like 3 months. And it took 3 months of just spending frivolously to be like, stop, wake up. You have bigger goals in life than acquiring all the stuff and, you know, spending money on all the food that you can possibly eat. And so we were able to get back on track with that. And it helped that we had a goal, a savings goal for a debt-free vacation that we were going to be taking in this several months. So that kind of helped us ramp back up our savings.
Got it. Walk us through a day in the life when you were paying off debt. What were some of the, I mean, it's an emotional roller coaster. So how was that for you guys?
You know, it was hard. There were days whenever I just wanted to give up. And I am a natural spender. I am not a saver. I had to actually learn how to become a saver. And there were times when I was just like, forget it. I'm done. Let's just buy me a new sofa, or my coffee table is still trash. I need a new coffee table. And thankfully, in those moments where I was ready to give up, my husband would talk some sense into me and he would say, no, look at the bigger picture. You're focusing on right now. You're focusing on the next month. You're focusing on the next 3 years. We need to think 10 years, 20 years. So stop basically being selfish and let's think about our future. And then there were some times where he would kind of be like that. And I would try to kind of bring him back down to say, no, this is what we really need to be focusing on.
I love it. How did you guys end up meeting?
We met online.
No way. Very
cool. I told myself I would never, ever date online. And, I went on an online date and I met him and it's history from there.
That's so cool. And so were you both in college at that time or were you both working teachers?
No, we were both working teachers. I was in my, I can't remember if it was my first or second year of teaching, and he was maybe in his third or fourth. And we were actually working at the same school district. And yeah, we met, and he knew from day one that we were going to get married. And I was like, I'm not sure. I need some time to think about this.
That's amazing.
So anyway, 4 months later, we were engaged. And a year later, we were married.
That's so cool. Very, very exciting. Yeah. And then little one and paying off debt at the same time. So this is juggling two huge life transitions.
Yes.
So how did you navigate that? Did you have somebody that you could complain to a lot? How did it work?
My mom was really supportive. We had a lot of people that basically told us we were being silly. We had a lot of people that said, no, you know, you should be going on all these trips before you have the baby. You should be buying a house. You should be doing all these things, when we weren't really quite ready for that. And it took being able to have someone to vent to and then someone to dream with. So my mom was like the person that I vented to, and she would say, no, this is worth it. And then my husband was the person that I would dream with. And I mean, it was not easy. We completely changed our lifestyle. We said no to going out to eat a lot with our friends. We said no to trips with our friends. We said no to buying nice new clothes and fancy cars. Our cars are 10 and 12 years old. But it became something that once you say no over and over and over again, it's not that hard anymore.
I like that you said that. I think you're spot on. If you can train yourself to say no and to remind yourself of that goal, that bigger dream that you're working towards, it does. It makes it a lot easier. So now that you guys are officially debt-free, what does life look like? You mentioned that you're putting more into savings, but are there anything else that you're doing financially right now?
So, you know, when we became debt free, or when we decided we wanted to become debt free, I was like, that's it. I'm going to become debt free. And then I'm never going to budget again. But thankfully, you know, 4.5 years, that is not something that you can just let go of. You know, that just becomes who you are, budgeting and wanting to put your money in a place where is responsible. And so we are working on college funds. We're working on a car fund. My husband's car is, it's either 11 or 12 years old. So it will need to be replaced. We're working on that. And we're maxing out 2 Roth IRAs. We have our teacher pension that we're doing. We're saving for a family vacation, and then we're saving for a couple's vacation. So one of the things is we want to travel the world. So that's part of our savings that we kind of put to every single month.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing. And then with your whole financial plan, are you aiming for FIRE, the financial independent retirement early, or are you just stocking away money right now?
We're just stocking away money right now. My husband is very happy with what he does. And I think that if he were to retire early, he would need to find something else that brings him happiness, or else he might go crazy. And I don't want to be married to a crazy man.
I don't think so either.
So, I think that we're just stocking away money. We have goals of paying for, you know, being able to support our children through college. I have goals of being able to give enormous amounts of money. We have goals of being able to take our children places. So that's really our focus right now. We want to be set for retirement, and we want to be able to leave money to our children when we do pass. And so I wouldn't say that we're necessarily trying to retire early, but we want to retire comfortably.
Yeah, I think that's a really great goal. And one of the things that I love too is you share all of your knowledge and all of your tips and wisdom with people on your blog, inspiredbudget.com. When did the blog come into the picture?
So the blog came into the picture actually after we became debt free. During our journey, I would talk about it all the time, to the point where I would drive everyone around me crazy. My friends, my family, I mean, and I don't think I realized, you know how like there's always one crazy person in your family, but that person doesn't know they're crazy?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's me.
Because you're like, no one else is. So
yeah, I'm like, why are you not interested in talking about this all the time? And so it wasn't until it was Easter and I was at a family event, and a cousin that I'm like, a cousin by marriage, not even a blood cousin, was like, yeah, I think you need to do something with this because it's a little intense and you need some sort of an outlet. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's kind of the moment where I thought, okay, well, let me help people. I'm a teacher, so I love to teach. It comes naturally to me. I have this extreme passion about budgeting and helping people. And when I teach my lessons to my students on budgeting, I mean, there are tears in the room. I enjoy it. You know, I can connect with them, my students. so wonderfully based off of just some of my past and then their current status. And I thought, let me just do this for adults. And so I started it. I made a shop where I sold some printables, and then, you know, it just grew from there.
That's amazing. And I know that you're going to be opening up the doors to your course again soon, which I'm stoked for you because it sounds like a killer deal for what you're getting. So tell us just a quick little glimpse of what the course covers.
Yeah, definitely. So it's called the Budget Better Than Ever course. And what it is it teaches you how to actually budget based off of your unique family situation. Because the truth is that I'm not going to budget the same way you budget. Our families are different. We get paid differently. So it's all about teaching you how to target your truth so that way you can budget for that. And it teaches you how to stick to your budget because sticking to your budget is hard.
So hard.
And there's no months that I stick to. There's never been a month where I stick to my budget 100%. And so it teaches you how to, when that happens, when you are faced with a challenge, how to still manage to stick to your budget after that. It teaches you how to save money, my budget tips and tricks. It comes with printables. So it really sets you up to lay a solid foundation mm-hmm. for your financial future.
Oh, love it. It sounds like such a killer course. I love that you make it more personable and you make it unique. You're spot on. Yeah. It's like everyone's situation is not a cookie cutter. You can't just say, here's your percentages. Good luck.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, I appreciate that. One of the things that I loved about your website is it looks like you find inspiration from really different places, shall we say. So where do you go to find inspiration for your articles?
A lot of it is just things that I've struggled with. You know, growing up as someone who loves to spend money, and I think that at a period of my time, you know, I just enjoyed collecting stuff. And I realized over time that it's not what matters. I write a lot from almost like my past. And then anything that gives me inspiration, whenever my followers on Instagram will send me questions, I like to write about those kinds of things. Because if you have a question, then that means someone else has a question about it.
Totally, totally, totally. And yeah. One of the things that I was reading was that you were able to learn some really powerful lessons from a coach purse.
Oh, yes.
This is great. So I was hoping we could maybe just dive through some of these because I thought this was like so dang good. And I know everybody listening would appreciate lessons learned from a coach purse as well, if you're down for that.
Yeah, I'd love to share about it.
One of the ones that I loved so much was you said, patience is a skill that you must learn. Okay.
Yes.
I agree. But how the heck do we learn patience, my friend?
You know, I would say that you just have to practice patience. And you have to be in the situation in your life where you learn how to say no to things. Mm. And I had to learn that, you know, what happened with the coach purse was that I encouraged, and encouraged is a very kind word. I basically forced my husband, who I was engaged to at the time, to buy me this coach purse. And if he were to come on this podcast, he would be like, I hate that purse. I mean, it is still like, there is still some like, you know, tension in the air when we talk about the coach purse, because I had no patience. I wanted that coach purse. I wanted it then. And by golly, I didn't have the money. So I was going to make him have the money because, you know, he's a teacher. So he makes, you know, upwards of, you know, seven figures every year. So he can afford to buy me this purse. Yeah, obviously. So I basically made my broke fiance buy me the purse, which was not the right thing to do. And so what it taught me was that I need to learn to be patient. And if there is something that I want to buy that is expensive, I need to learn how to take that amount and divide it by six and save 6 months, you know, save over 6 months to get it, or divide it by 12 and save for a year. I don't need it right then. I will survive without the coach purse.
Believe it or not, right?
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Like 20 something, early 20s, Allison didn't know that. It's crazy to think how much people can change in a time, because I did not know that. I wanted it so bad that I forced him to buy it for me because I knew I didn't have the money. How sad is that?
I mean, I can't say any different because I know I've done the same thing in my life. So mm-hmm. I think we all go through this, but you're hitting on a mm-hmm. concept that I want to dive into a little bit more. And that's the whole idea of impulse buys.
Yes.
How the heck do we curb our impulse buys, in your opinion?
So I think that you just have to, that's a really good question.
It's so hard too.
It is. It is. It's hard to curb your impulse buys. I think not putting yourself in the situation to where you see an impulse buy. Mm. So, for instance, my car is not, I mean, it's 10 years old. It's not pretty. It's not great. It gets the job done, but I'm not going to go onto a car sales lot because then I'm going to want to have that large, major impulse buy and, you know, sign up to finance a car when that's not really what our future, you know, that's not what our goals are. So don't put yourself in this situation. Don't walk into the mall, into your favorite store, knowing that you don't have the money for that. And I think that that is going to like cut down on your impulse buys by a huge percentage.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. And I think this is a great conversation to have too, because we're gearing up for the holidays, and holidays are notoriously the worst for impulse buys. So any tips to maybe avoiding that when it comes to holiday shopping?
Yeah, I would say to make a list and check it twice. But seriously, like I make a list of everything that I'm going to buy for people, and then I don't get anything else that's not on that list. And the hardest person, you want to hear how crazy this is? The hardest person to stick to the list is the list for me, because I'll say, oh, I deserve this. I had such a difficult year. I had such a good year, and I deserve this because it's on sale. I don't have tend to have trouble, you know, spending too much on impulse buying for other people. It's for me or my family. And so I think that if you really, truly set a list in place and then you stick to it, and then you no longer go in the stores, or you only shop online, or you wait 72 hours before hitting purchase on your cart online, that's going to help a lot.
Oh, agreed. And then sticking to that budget too, whatever you can financially afford. I think we have a lot of shame around not being able to afford as much, or not being able to get the perfect gift for our parents, our kids, whatever it might be. But ultimately, it's like you got to take care of your own house. So, I think those are good tips.
In the beginning of our debt-free journey, we budgeted $10 for every grandparent. I mean, we were very frugal, and I found the greatest sales on like photo books. And that's what you got, because, you know, pictures of grandkids, everyone wants that, right?
Absolutely. That's such a meaningful gift, too. I think sometimes we think the price tag is what's going to make it a more meaningful gift, but it's the thought behind it that really does matter. Love it. Okay, so the second thing that you learned from the coach purse was that material possessions will not bring you happiness.
Yes.
I can't even, that took me forever to learn. So how did you figure this one out?
Well, that took me forever to learn too. I think that, you know, I had lots of insecurities at that age. And, you know, I mean, we all have insecurities. I still have insecurities to this day, and I'm going to own them. But I think one of my major insecurities was, if I have this status symbol, people will think differently of me. And so it was all about this status symbol. Maybe yours isn't a status symbol. Maybe yours is something completely different, but we all have these insecurities. And so to me, I had to learn that having that coach purse, it brought me happiness. It brought me happiness for maybe a week. And then I thought, oh, I'll be happy forever if I have this coach purse. I actually told my husband, I will use this purse forever. I use the word forever. How embarrassing. And I truly thought when he bought it, I was so over the moon happy that I couldn't even see how upset he was, because this material possession I had was bringing me happiness so much so that I couldn't even see how upset my fiance was that I just made him spend over $150 on something he didn't even want to buy. And that happiness faded, because it's not true. It's not real. It's not a relationship. It's not something bigger. It's just a purse. And it took me a while to learn that.
Oh, I think that's so important too, because you're hitting on so many goodness right now. It's this whole concept of we buy something thinking that this item is what is going to make us happy. And it might temporarily, sure. Mm-hmm. But longer term, and especially if it's a car or a house that you can't quite afford, that comes back to bite you even 2 years later when you're over this new cool thing.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, it could possibly even be something you struggle with forever, or hopefully not forever. Mm-hmm. But I think that it takes a lot of intentionality, because I even think about when I bought my car. Of course, that was back whenever I was pregnant and I was younger. Mm-hmm. I remember driving in this car and thinking, oh my gosh, this car, this Toyota Camry is so nice. Right. With its sunroof or moonroof, whatever they call it. And I thought, I will love this car forever. And guess what? That car's okay. Yeah. You know, it gets me from place to place, and it doesn't, you know, it's not the best, But that's the thing, is in that moment, you're fooled. It's like you're on a high of buying this item, and you have to realize in that high, you have to tell yourself, this is not real. This is fake. And this is not where my true happiness lies.
Ooh, I love it. Do you find, so with your Instagram and with your followers, is that a common problem for people, is getting out of that materialism concept?
I think so. And I think, you know, it's not harder with big purchases. It's harder with smaller purchases. It's harder when you're walking into Target and you see the home decor section and you want to buy 8 things at $12 each. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, that's where the impulse is easier, because it's that snap purchase where you're like, oh, it's just $12. Well, 12 times 12 is 144. Mm-hmm. So that adds up pretty quickly and can truly break someone's monthly budget. So I think that's where the impulse is are harder.
I think you're spot on. But I know that, being realistic, we're still going to do some impulse buys. Like, we're not mm-hmm. perfect. So how do you budget for that, or how do you plan for that in your own life?
So we have fun money. We share, my husband and I share $100 worth of fun money. And it's basically just whatever you want to buy. If there's something that you just feel like, oh my gosh, I need, you know, I really want this from Target, or I really want to go out to an extra dinner or go grab a nice bottle of wine. It's your fun money. So you need to plan for those impulse purchases in a realistic amount.
Okay. So walk me through that. Say somebody's trying to pay off debt and they don't have a ton of money. They're trying to pay it off fairly aggressively like you did. Do you believe that they should still have fun money in that plan?
Absolutely. We did. I needed it, because that's what helped me go from being a spender to a saver, was because maybe it was 3 months in, my husband said, no, we're not spending any money. I mean, it was so strict. It was unlivable almost. So I went to Target and I dropped $300 on clothes and I laughed. I was like, take that, Matt, take that budget. I'll show you who's boss. And I couldn't, because there was no control. So then we sat down and he was like, that wasn't planned. And I was like, yeah, that's right. It wasn't planned.
That's right.
And we set out in that time when we were being very aggressive, I was given, I think it was like $20 a month. And I would save it up over time if I wanted to buy something, or I would spend it all in that month. I think he had nothing, because he's just not a spender by nature. And now it's increased. Now it's $100 a month and we share it, but usually he doesn't use it. So usually it's mine.
Sweet. So that's the secret, right?
Yeah, that's the secret.
I like it. And then the last thing that the coach purse taught you was, happy wife, happy life is a lie.
Oh, it's such a lie.
Why is it such a lie? I always hear that.
I know. And I even have like a little cute water bottle and it's monogrammed. And my husband got it for me. It says happy wife, happy life. But it's a lie. It is a lie. Because if one person is happy in the relationship, it does not mean that the other person is. And going back to the coach purse, I was so happy. But my husband at the time was so down. And I can't imagine what he was feeling in that moment. I'm sure he was like, oh, she's happy, that's nice. But his checking account was lowered. You know, he felt probably betrayed by what I did and what I pushed him to do. And probably most likely he felt manipulated, because I did manipulate him in that moment. And it's not true. It's not true that always a happy wife is a happy life, because what happens to these marriages is they let the women spend because they feel like it will make them happy. And then what happens is these people get in ton of consumer debt. And the wife is unhappy and she can't pinpoint why. Why am I unhappy? I have a beautiful living room full of gorgeous curtains and candles and picture frames. But she can't pinpoint that she's unhappy because she's created this financial mess. And the husband has let her go for so long that he can't see it.
This is so common. I am shaking my head because I hear this all the freaking time. People are constantly reaching out saying, hey, I need help. I can't get my husband, my wife on the same page. There's so much of that too. But a lot of it comes down to one person is spending, and one person is spending to try to chase happiness, and the other person is trying to just keep up with that happiness.
Right.
So for couples, what do you find works? How do you start to get on the same page financially so that we're not running into this problem?
So what I would say is have a dream meeting, like sit down and think, because that's exactly what my husband and I did. I mean, ours was also out of fear, like, oh my gosh, we can't provide for our child. Right. But we sit down usually once a year. I trap him in the car when we're driving over Christmas break where he can't escape. And we have we have a dream meeting where we talk about what do we want to accomplish in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years. And being able to think about what do you want to accomplish in 20 years and then putting those steps, working backwards to put these steps into place. Because ultimately, you know, we're not going to be able to reach our dreams in 20 years if we still have $111,000 worth of debt. It's just not going to happen. And so I feel like finding that reason, finding that why, and finding it together. Because if it was what I wanted, but my husband didn't want it, then he's not going to be on board. So you need to find something that you both want and can respect.
And it sounds like for you guys, that was travel. Is that the case?
Well, I think for us, it was travel. I'm more of a traveler than my husband. He likes the idea. But I think for us, it was our children. 100%. You know, we ended up having another child before we became debt-free. So we had to pause our debt payoff. We had several things come into place. We had a dog lose a leg. That was a surprise. Oh, yeah. Your podcast isn't long enough for that story. Yeah. Our dog Joey, he had to have his leg amputated.
Poor Joey.
I know, poor Joey. He's so sweet though. And so, you know, I think now I've lost track of my, my point. I'm sorry.
You were talking about the kids. So you had your second child.
Mm-hmm. So for us, it was wanting a life for them that was different, and that was just different. We just had this idea for them of not having to struggle with money, but not having them be spoiled, teaching them about money, but them being able to not have to graduate college with all these student loans that we were faced with.
Yeah, agreed. I think that's really powerful. And I think that from what I see with most people, it's kids and changes in the family tree are dang good motivators if you let them be. So I think that's really cool that you were able to still have kids, still pursue the family life, but still stay aggressive with your goals and not let that be an excuse to not pay off your debt.
You know why I think that it's usually kids and changing the family tree is because that is something that is bigger than you. You know, travel is wonderful and travel is a great reason to become debt free. But ultimately, travel is a more, I don't want to say selfish, but it's about you going off and seeing the world and, you know, your spouse going off and see the world. But if you have it for your children and you want your children to graduate college or you want your children to see the world, that's something that's bigger than you. And I think that that's why it can be a bigger motivator.
Oh, I love it. How old are your kids now, too?
6 and 4.
Oh, so they're of age to learn about money. What kinds of stuff are you teaching them?
Oh, well, you know, we teach them, they have they earn, we have like this chart, this point sheet. And so they earn money based off of things that they do in the house, not just chores, but also the way they treat us. And we make them give, save, and spend money. And when we walk through Target, my son sees a toy he likes. He has stopped asking me, like, will you buy this for me? His immediate thing is, I wonder if I have enough money in my spend jar to buy this. And so it's great. And if he doesn't, I just take a picture of the item with him and it makes him happy and he forgets about it.
That's is your son your oldest?
Oh, I have two boys.
Oh, two boys.
Yes,
okay.
Two boys.
Are they spender savers? What were their little personalities like?
My oldest son is a spender. When he was in kindergarten last year, he went to the book fair and we'd given him $10, a $10 bill. And he went up and I said, you have to buy a book or two books and you can get some of the little toys, like trash, basically, they sell. Yep. And he still had money left over. So they gave him, you know, several dollars and some coins. And he was like, oh, my gosh. And he thought they were giving him more money. Oh. Like, because it was more physical dollars. He was like, I'm rich. I can buy more toys. And he just kept going back. And he came in the car and I said, oh, what'd you get at the book fair? He said, well, I got this. And then they just kept giving me more money. So I kept getting more stuff. And I was like, oh gosh, you're a spender like your mommy.
You're like, now I know. All I have to do is give you 100 pennies and you're good.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, he's smarter now. But my 4-year-old might not be. So I could do that trick with him.
Is your 4-year-old kind of a spender too?
Oh, he hasn't. You know, he. I don't know. He likes to just give money to people. So I guess maybe he'll be someone that is just a giver. He likes to find pennies and give them to people. Or he actually likes to take our money. So that's not good.
Might want to watch out for that.
Yeah, I'm going to fix that before he's older.
That's amazing. I always think it's so interesting to see the kinds of stuff that kids pick up from parents. And they're always watching. It's like you can't escape them. They're constantly paying attention. So I think it's interesting.
And my oldest son, I think he thinks we're poor. Because he'll say things like, is that in the budget? Or he said something about the electricity bill the other day, about turning off the lights. And he said, if we don't have enough money to pay for the electricity bill, I can give you some of my money. And I'm like, we have enough money. Like, I'm sorry That's if I'm awesome. Projecting this off. So, you know, we have some growth. We have some areas that need improvement.
That's
We're
amazing.
Working on it.
It's always
it's a work in progress.
Always.
Yeah,
always.
There you go.
I love it. This has been such a fun conversation. I love the analogy of what you learned from a coach purse. I thought that was so beautiful and very, very relevant to all of our lives. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
Are you down for some rapid fire questions?
Oh my gosh, yes.
These are so much fun. So the first question I have for you is, what is one purchase that you have recently made that has made your life better?
Oh my gosh, this is so crazy. It's a Target bag. Don't, this is like awful. I just talked about this Coach purse. No, it was a $40 Target bag, like a huge tote bag. And I took it to FinCon, and it's my work bag now. And it fits my MacBook, and it fits all my stuff. And I take it to the library. I take it to different places. So ironically, it is a purse, but it's a cheaper purse.
Absolutely. And you probably will love it for 2 years.
I will. I'll get more bang for the buck out of the purse. I've pared down. I don't have as much stuff as many purses. So yeah. It was definitely a guilty purchase.
I
love it.
I'm with you. Well, if you budget for it and you can afford it, by all means, right? That's the
point. That's right.
So what is one location that you're dying to travel to?
Oh, goodness. Kauai.
Yes.
I would love to go there. I would love to go there. I've been to Maui. So I would love, New Zealand. Oh, there's so many places.
No, it's tough.
Jamaica. I'm a beach person.
Oh, go to Kauai then for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Kauai is so great. It's a beautiful island. It really is. Did you like Maui?
We did. That was our honeymoon. We spent 11 nights in Maui.
Oh my goodness.
So it was very long, but it was good.
I love that. Yeah. Maui was a ton of fun too. So you will probably adore Kauai. So last question for you, what is the secret to financial success in your opinion?
Being intentional with your money, making a budget work for you and tracking your income. So that way you're always aware of your financial truth, income and expenses, tracking your income and expenses.
I love it. Allison, thank you so much. This was so much fun to get to chat with you. I loved and I know I learned a lot too. So thank you again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Okay, what'd you think? I personally love this episode with Allison. One of the things that really stood out to me was when she was talking about how the good old quote, happy wife, happy life is a lie. And how if one person's unhappy in the relationship, very likely somebody else is as well. And I thought that was really interesting. I think her insight to the coach purse and how she actually made her husband feel in that moment was incredible and very, very thought-provoking. So I hope it really sparked something for you. And hopefully we don't peer pressure people into purchases. I know I've definitely done that before in my past too. Not something I'm proud of either. If you have enjoyed this episode, take a screenshot of you listening to it and tag me on Instagram. And then also tag Allison on there as well so we can see that you're tuning in. It means the world to both of us. If you have also enjoyed this episode and you haven't left a review yet, please it takes like 5 seconds, seriously. Leave a review and let me know what specifically about this episode and this podcast that you like. It truly does help the podcast get in front of more people. All right, guys, that's it for today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.